Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And yeah, I think...
Good morning, Kansas City. Day 3 of the NFL draft. Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco, Trey Smith, Legarius Sneed. These are the types of names that the Chiefs have found on day 3 of the draft in the last 3 years. Starters are out there. 5 picks remaining for the Kansas City Chiefs today, and there is still work to be done. We're happy to have you with us. I am Nick Schwert, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. This is the Character Concerns crew. We got 3 more hours of NFL draft coverage this weekend. We'll be with you until noon. We're going to talk to Felix and Udike Uzama's high school coach, Eric Thomas, head coach for Lee's Summit High School. I know it feels like the draft is winding down, but based off the Chiefs' success in recent years on day 3, I feel like this is still going to be an exciting day for Chiefs fans, because I want to find out who the next diamond in the rough is going to be for this franchise.
Well, Nick, day 3 is when the action happens. You can make an argument the best player in NFL history. Well, there's no argument. The best player in NFL history was a 6th-round selection in Tom Brady. Shannon Sharp,
yeah.
A 7th-round selection. This is where the magic happens.
Chris, I made a bet yesterday during middays that, well, I don't think I made a bet, but we were joking about, you know, the cliches. Like, does the draft actually start? And I said, well, they'll say it on day 1. They'll say it on, like, pick 3. They'll say, now the draft actually begins. And I think somebody said yesterday, they're like, Bink will say it for day 3.
I know. I heard you guys.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay. Yeah,
100%. I heard you guys say it.
Bink's got all these statistics about the 3rd day of the draft. Absolutely. He's like, this is where the draft starts now.
Well, yeah. I was saying it last night. The 2nd and 3rd round, I was like, this is where it really begins.
That's right.
I told you, today's just a day of fun. Today is the day of fun, the finding the
house money.
Today is house money day for the Chiefs.
And if you're a GM, you got to love today, because nothing can really be criticized. If you're getting criticized for a 4th through 7th round pick, someone's got issues.
I will say this. I do think there are some GMs that are going to get criticized for today, because
they shouldn't be.
Maybe the last 2 days they didn't address all the needs that they have on their team. And so today they're still trying to look for needs. But if you're in a position of the Chiefs, oh, today is where you have fun. Today is where you get sexy and you start getting some of those exotic players that maybe aren't a 2023 guy, but maybe 2024, 2025, we see that fruit bear there.
Yeah, if you're a GM and you're getting criticized today, which Chris is probably right, somebody will because they didn't address needs.
100%.
But if it's coming down to you not addressing needs rounds 4 through 7, you got to rewind yourself as a GM. What the hell were you doing during free agency? Like, if you're relying on rounds 4 through 7 to take care of your team, you got an issue. I will say this, though. As Nick said here with Brett Veach, he's done so much damage on these days. I mean, these are days. The Chiefs have a Super Bowl trophy, their third Lombardi, because of the late rounds. Because of four rookies playing. And I get,
well, they're lottery tickets. And if you keep cashing lottery tickets, you're going to get rich. Well,
Isaiah Pacheco, your leading rusher of the team, was selected on day 3. Jalen Watson, 2 important interceptions in the postseason. 7th round pick. That was, again, world champions helped it. It was a cog in the wheel to the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl was what was done on the 7th round. And the year before, Trey Smith starting, 6th round pick. So you look around this roster, you're thinking, man, this last day of the draft has really helped the Chiefs develop that world championship swag.
So we've got a couple hours here before day 3 actually officially begins over at Union Station. Now that you guys have had not a very long night, we were on till 11 o'clock last night.
Yeah,
so
I woke up an hour and a half ago.
I was peeling myself out of bed this morning as well.
I went home and watched the second
night. I'm sure you did.
The first night watching the first round again.
I'll probably watch the second round
the thing
maybe
is, today
tomorrow.
I'll be able to watch most of it. We're only going till noon. So
now that you guys have had just a couple hours to sleep it off, to think about it.
Ain't no sleep in the draft time, Nick.
Well, you got to sleep because that's when you reminisce.
Ain't
that's
no
when
sleep in draft
when you,
time, Nick.
That's when you chew on it. How are you guys feeling now? 2 days in with what the Chiefs have done with their first 3 picks.
I really like what they've done thus far. I don't think it is going to be the sexy draft. I think I think right now, from a draft analyst standpoint, I think they're going to get maybe a B- or C+, because I think there's going to be people looking for a little bit more explosiveness from a receiver pick, or maybe they feel like the Chiefs could have maybe addressed the edge rusher position a little differently. But I think that they've handled this incredibly well. We talked about this last night. The Chiefs, when they have a need, when they have issues with their roster, they address it very aggressively. They didn't have a lot of pressing needs going into Thursday, but I think they've handled it very well. I watched a little bit more tape on Wanya Morris last night after got back home. Wanya Morris looks like a very promising prospect.
He's powerful, isn't he?
I watched a clip of him at the Senior Bowl, and he was going up against Derek Hall. And he owned that kid. I mean, he smashed him. It was such a great rep that after he put Derek Hall in dirt, he did the gritty after. I'm telling you, he's doing work. I really like this kid. I think there's a good chance if he really shows some promise that we could be looking at the starting right tackle for 23. So I love this pick.
And the thing about Wanya, he played left tackle at Tennessee.
Yes.
When Trey Smith was there. 2019 was the year they really got acclimated and played a lot of football together. But I'll say this too, Nick, when your question to Chris there, I think there's two ways to look at a draft. Either you really like it or you're talking yourself into liking it. Like, where do you fall? You know what I'm saying, Nick? Like, when you see a draft, you're like, man, this draft's a home run.
Yeah.
Or do you sit here and go, do all the research and say, you know what? I like this. I know your friends like the pick. People in the media, you're turning to 6'10". I hope those guys like the pick. Like, there's two ways to look at a draft. Either you're blown away when it happens, or two, you talk yourself in to look like in the picks. You've done the research, and then you're educated about everything. You go, you know, I really like this draft pick. Or, because that's the thing. Like, I remember when D Ford was taken by the Chiefs. I had to kind of talk myself into why they made the selection because I hated it.
Yeah.
And so I had to think of the reasons. All right, here's the reasons Tomba's going to be gone. D Ford's coming out there. I had to talk myself in. If you have to talk yourself in to trying to figure out how it's working, maybe the draft pick's not as well. Not as good as first stop. Where do you come in on this? Are you talking yourself in? None of it's bad, but are you talking yourself more into it, or were you blown away when it first happened?
I think the thing that I'm kind of trying to be consistent on is, not sitting here the day of the draft or the day after the draft and judging it based off the actual, like, yeah, I can judge it based off the prospects and say, okay, is this a value pick? What do I think of this player going back? What's the fit there? But ultimately, you're looking for proof of concept. And the proof of concept for the Chiefs is the two Lombardi trophies. But from here, you try to ask yourself, what are you trying to do? Not how good are these guys going to be. What are you trying to do? We've done, I don't know how many podcasts, how many hours of radio over the last 2 months. And we knew that there were only a few spots on this team that you really needed to address. You needed to get another edge rusher. You needed to add depth to the wide receiver room. And you needed to bring in another guy for competition on the offensive line. You had three picks and you did that. There were no surprises over the first 2 days of the draft for Chiefs fans. There were no, hey, what are you guys thinking here? What's the idea here? No, we know exactly what they did with each of the first three picks. We know the concept behind each. But like, look at other teams. It seems so simple, but look at some other teams in the NFL. Look at what the Lions did. The Lions went out and drafted a running back 12th overall. They drafted an inside linebacker 18th overall. They drafted a D tackle yesterday from Western Kentucky that probably would be available in round 6. If I'm a Lions fan, I'm saying, what are you guys trying to do? I thought we were in the middle of a rebuild. You showed great promise last year in year 2, and now all of a sudden it feels like you're going in a different direction. Sure. Right? It feels like you're rudderless. The Chiefs are moving full steam ahead with what they had last year, and they're just sprinkling in some new pieces that they think can infuse this roster with talent. It is very obvious what the Chiefs are trying to do, so it's really hard to knock them.
Yeah, I like this draft for the Chiefs. The one thing is, they're hitting what their needs are. But here's the thing, you got to trust them. Do you think that last year were people that enamored? Because I remember, you know, the people, oh, I hate this draft. You don't hate, why hate anything until you see what happens? Because remember last year, people weren't going nuts over Joshua Williams, yeah, Jalen Watson, and Isaiah Pacheco, his 3.7 yards a carry at Rutgers. In the 7th round, they're going, okay, well, because he didn't have very explosive games at mm-hmm. Rutgers. He didn't have those standout games. You're trying to talk, okay, I don't understand this pick, and Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, Nazi Johnson, I don't understand this. And then you say, well, I hate the draft. And then it turns out to be a good draft. The one thing about these, I think at the end of this year, you'll look back at it and say, Chiefs got some players. Like, the Chiefs got guys that'll help them in the future. I get it, but it's always tough to look at a draft class. Oh, I hate it. Well, why do you hate it? Let it play out. Let it see how they actually do. Because, again, last year in this town, there probably wasn't a million people that looked at it and said, man, I love this draft class. But yet that draft class, 9 out of 10 players played in games last year and contributed for the Chiefs. All 10 are still on the roster. But how many people after draft last year, when you got to the later rounds, like, really loved the draft, but it turned out to be damn good?
Well, I mean, I think we're talking about like day 3. Most people don't know who the hell these guys are.
No.
So there's not like a, you know, like,
that's my point.
But that's the thing though, is like, so I don't think there's usually very many opinions about that. I think most draft classes are really kind of judged by what you do in the first couple rounds. And if there isn't that impact player there in the first couple rounds, or at least a guy that fans are able to at least convince themselves that they like.
Like, how does he fit?
Yeah. I think there it's like, okay, well, this is a failure. Like, I honestly think, like, you look at the Lions. Thursday, they did terrible. They reached on 2 players they probably could have gotten the 2nd round.
We think they have, but it's there's no proof.
I think they reached on those guys.
Here's the one thing about draft classes. It is so ridiculous to grade them, you know, when you'll see all the grades.
But I can grade you off position. I can grade you off concept.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know, but when you look at it and all these teams, like, just like I told you, Mahomes was getting C-minuses and stuff like that when he was drafted. The draft is the toughest thing to label, give a team an F or a D-minus, whatever, until you see what happens. Now, the next year, that's fine. It's fine to go back and say, man, they sucked in that draft. I don't think it's fair to say it before it actually
happens. I think it's fair to say that. I think it's an uneducated opinion by people.
I think it's such a crap.
To Chris's point, Jahmyr Gibbs could be a star.
Yeah.
And it still was a bad value pick for the
Lions. Right, exactly. Like,
he could be a star. Christian McCaffrey was a star.
Unless he helps them go to the playoffs and win.
Because Christian McCaffrey is as good as a running back could have ever been in Carolina. And what did it lead to for them?
Nothing. If you look at the top 10 running backs in terms of total rushing yards last season, 4 of them were first-round picks. four of them were second round picks, and then two of those guys were rounds three and then round five. So you don't need to draft that position in the first round. That's a position that you can get value at.
Unless linebacker. They help you.
Yeah, but even if they help you, it's still not worth a first round pick.
If they help you get a Super Bowl, it was worth it.
But that's a running back's not going to help you get a Super Bowl. They're not going to be the main feature of that.
Okay, what's the last?
I do, because what teams are winning it with running the football in 2023?
Super Bowl MVPs.
What teams are doing? I don't care about no damn Super Bowl MVP.
When's the last time?
Yeah, when's the last time that a team that was all about running the football, that featured one single back, was able to win a Super Bowl?
I'm just saying it could happen. Here's what I'm talking about right here. This is why sometimes this is stupid and ignorant by people that make grades.
Are you calling us stupid and ignorant?
No, not you guys. I'm talking the general consensus that does it. 2017.
Everyone but us.
2017. Here's one from USA Today. C- for the Chiefs. Calling Mahomes a project is a major understatement. He's nowhere near ready to play in the NFL. And honestly, he may never be. Between his inconsistent accuracy due to poor mechanics, his tendency to bail from clean pockets, and his lack of field vision, he's going to leave as many big plays on the field as he creates. This is a risky pick. It's this kind of crap that I'm talking about.
I feel like we may have stumbled upon something.
We hit a sore spot there.
Well, hey, we got plenty of time.
This is the crap that bothers
me. We got plenty of time to hash this out. We're going to talk to Felix and Udike Uzomah's high school coach, Eric Thomas, coming up at 10 o'clock. We're going to give you some names to look out for. Right? You may not know a lot of these guys that are going to be available on day three. That's what we're here for. And also one common thread that ties together the three picks the Chiefs have made so far in the 2023 NFL Draft. You're listening to Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft special with the Character Concerns podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Day three of the NFL Draft will start at 11 a.m. I am Nick Schwert, Chris Nocera, Jay Binkley. This is Character Concerns with your 2023 NFL Draft coverage. We are going till noon at 10 o'clock. We're going to talk to the high school coach of Felix and Udike Uzomah, Eric Thomas, Lee Summit High School.
Let me say, this guy is one of the better coaches that I've ever been around. I mean, he's so intense. And you got to remember something. He's churning out NFL players, Eric Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Got Drew Lock playing in the National Football League. Now he's got his own guy, Felix. He's got a great story. Like, Felix, He almost walked away from football. He almost went to Missouri to J school.
He almost did the same thing I did. I initially went to Mizzou for just go for journalism.
But here's the thing about him, and this is something I brought up to Chris Kleiman, the Kansas State coach, joined us yesterday when I was with Dot. And we asked him about a story, and because Felix mentioned this at his Chiefs press conference the other day. And I think when we look back at football in history, especially during the pandemic, you either went one of two directions with it, right? You're like, yeah, I don't want to play anymore. Or you went to work and you went to the lab. Like, he couldn't go to the gym. It was closed. Remember none of that. He couldn't go up to school and work out, couldn't go up anywhere. You know what he did? Converted a gym in his house. He goes to town, adds the weight. The pandemic helped him become a better player. Not only that, the pandemic that gave all these guys extra years. Yeah. You're starting to see the fruits of the labor with some of these guys that are five-year guys that are drafted in the NFL. They got that extra year of development because of the pandemic. And I think we look back and we'll say, okay, who did it help? Who did it hurt? But Felix started gaining weight and really gained from the pandemic. But his story is a great story about not quitting. When Bowling Green and North Dakota State are the only two people throw an offer at you, and then you keep fighting and working and the connections between Lee Summit and Kansas State, and also North Dakota State because he got an offer because Lee Summit, for some reason, North Dakota State recruits a lot of their players.
Yeah, so we're going to talk more about Felix and some of the things he has in common with the other two guys that the Chiefs selected yesterday, Rashee Rice out of SMU and Wanya Morris out of Oklahoma. I think there is one commonality that they all three share, but it's day three of the NFL draft, and this is when the names are a little less familiar for, I think, the common Chiefs fan. Like, you're not going through and watching AAC NFL draft prospects and trying to break down these guys, but that's why we're here.
It's hit or miss, though, Nick, because a lot of times the guys you've heard about, like Stetson Bennett and some of these guys, like, oh, I remember this guy, the Georgia quarterback. So this is why I call this the fun day.
This is the fun. This is when the draft officially
begins.
I will say this.
This is when it happened last night. Today,
I will say one thing from the text line. If you want to join the show, you can do so. 913-586-7610. From the 913, is the receiver Rice that much better than Cornell Powell? Could be the same player.
Let's pause the last one.
Let me tell you all the things that those two guys have in common. They are both 6'1". They are both about 200 pounds.
That's it.
They're Americans.
They are Americans.
They're both American citizens, as far as I know.
They both went to college.
Athletically.
They did go to college, yeah.
Their athletic profiles couldn't be farther. I mean, Rashee Rice is five times the athlete that Cornell Powell is.
Let me throw this out there, too. He led the nation in yards per game receiving. The only receiver in America over 110 yards reception or receiving yards. He was third in the nation in receiving yards. Cornell Powell never.
The texter didn't even spell Cornell Powell's name right.
But he is on the practice squad.
It could have been a voice to text, so I'll give them a pass on the spelling.
No. Who spells Cornell with a K?
I don't know.
Man, Rashee Rice is not going to
hear that. Collins doesn't even spell it with a K.
Good point. And by the way, Rashee Rice also led all receivers at the Combine with a 41-inch vert. So you're talking about the most explosive receiver that tested at the NFL
Combine.
He's
tied with Bryce Ford Wheaton.
Okay.
Give him his respect.
Well, Bryce Ford Wheaton might not hear his name called today.
What if he does here?
But it's a great transition.
Oh, if he were to get drafted.
Great transition, because I want the three of us to kind of maybe prime the pump a little bit for some of these names that we could hear the Chiefs call. The Chiefs have five picks. Their first one is going to be the 32nd pick of the third round. Chris, remind me again, how many minutes does each team get?
It's five up until the seventh round. Then it's four minutes for the seventh round.
So I guess maybe we could hear the Chiefs pick before we get off the air. It'll be close.
I mean, yeah, it'll be
for
real close.
Fourth round, good chance.
If they trade up, for sure, I think it depends. I mean, obviously, it depends on how far. But, yeah, there's a good chance we could, at least towards the very end of the final hour, have the Chiefs fourth round pick.
And the only reason we're not on during the entire third day is the Kansas City Royals. Kansas City Royals are going to be on, so we got to go to the Royals game and do that. But I'm not moving. I'm sitting here through the entirety of the draft.
Because you don't want to be in the car?
No, I'm not going to be in my car and your phone's blowing up. That's dangerous, man. That's dangerous driving when my phone's blowing up on draft picks. And I'm trying to drive down 635. I'm not causing an accident. I'm not going to be a safety risk to the people of Kansas City. I'm going to be responsible and do it from here. This is smart drafting, what I'm going to do, but I'm not moving.
Oh, you're going to stay here the whole time?
Damn right. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm going to go out to the draft after this.
Let's order a pizza. Let's stay in there. I'll order us a pie. Order pizza. Watch the draft.
I'm going to go out there and I want to at least experience the draft one day since we were working the last two. I'm going to try to go out there.
You can experience and go find a place to park.
Oh, no. My friend's going to pick me up. We're going to park somewhere.
By the way, programming, we will be on Monday night, 6 to 9, to wrap up everything.
Okay. So, guys, who are a couple of names that we should be watching for here on day three? Let's just start with round four, right? The Chiefs' first pick, assuming they stand pat, 32nd pick of the fourth round. Is there a particular position, or are there a couple of names that you have circled on your boards that you would love to see the Chiefs pick?
I'm thinking the one guy that I can say, okay, if he's still out there, you got to go get him. I could be talked into a lot of different guys, a lot of different positions. Tight end Zach Kuntz, 6'7". Ran a 4.55 at the combine. A guy just projecting so well with a lot of teams getting on it. Ton of visits, top 30 visits this year. People really like him. That's the position I think I could be talked into. As far as the fourth round, if we're just staying and thinking, or Nick Saliveri, the lineman, the tackle out of Old Dominion.
Hey,
remind me again, two Old Dominion guys here.
What did Old Dominion do last year?
They're 3-9.
Oh, they're bad. They were a bad team last year.
I'm the biggest Old Dominion fan.
NFL
this
factory.
Side of the Mississippi.
I think now Bink is going to be watching a lot more Old Dominion football now that they've got players like that coming out of there.
Dude, what's going on there? That's a hell of a recruit.
It's because their former head coach is a former OC for Penn State.
I need to get my Old Dominion shirt.
Do you know the mascot?
Old Dominion.
Are they the Lions?
The Monarchs.
Okay.
I think that the logo is a lion.
They are the Monarchs, okay. But they were an FCS team and then made the transition a few years ago to FBS.
So Nick Saldivari, offensive lineman out of Old Dominion.
Or Zach Kuntz. Either one of them. I really like those two guys.
I mean, that's how you build championships.
And keep in mind, Saldivari was a combine or a senior bowl. Like Jim Nagy runs a senior bowl, could not stop talking about this guy. And again, a guy took 15 top 30 visits, meaning this guy's not sleeping around. People know who he is.
Chris, any names that you've served?
Zach Kuntz for sure.
We're on the same page. Yeah,
we talked about this last night, and we've been talking about it literally for like the last month at least. Kuntz is the guy I want to be the heir apparent to Travis Kelce.
No relation to Rusty.
Not at all. Or Harold. I believe that he is the premier athlete at that position in this draft class. So I want him. I want him to be the guy that follows Kelce. He's not going to be in a rush because he's got some work to do, and Kelce looks like he's still balling out, and I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. So this is the perfect pick for me in the fourth round. If they have to go up and get him, go up and get him. I do think, though, after that, I mean, obviously Hunter Luepke. And then, we'll see if they go out and get my guy, Viliame Fehoko. I think the Chiefs are going to get sexy, though, on day three. I think they might take some unconventional names that we weren't even thinking about.
It's funny how in lockstep we are with a lot of these guys. You know, the more we text, a lot of my favorite guys are a lot of Chris's favorite guys. I know Nick's kind of the same way. Xavier Hutchinson, you know, guys like that. Will the Chiefs go running Bill? The Park Hill, best player in Kansas City, won the Simone Award, goes to Michigan, catches everything. And again, Andy Reid always goes with the guys that catch. He's very tough, physical, catches everything. Will the Chiefs go receiver? Because Xavier's out there, Bryce Ford Wheaton's out there.
Okay, so I want to before we move on, I want to talk about Zach Kuntz a little bit because you guys both mentioned him. And he's an interesting guy because if I just told you, hey, tight end from Old Dominion, you'd say, okay, really? Tight end from Old Dominion? But this guy was a four-star recruit, started his career at Penn State, and just couldn't get on the field. I think he had three catches. I think that was it. Three catches in 3 years with Penn State. So
he and Will Levis said, peace out.
Legit high school prospect, 6'7", 255. After 2 years, he said, okay, I'm not playing. Transfers to Old Dominion. All of a sudden, gets on the field. Missed the final seven games of last year with an ACL tear, but his best year was as a junior, 73 catches, 692 yards, 5 touchdowns. Physically, he is, you're right, he is the most impressive tight end in this draft class. And you can say what you want about the ACL tear, went to the combine and crushed it.
The athletic mode you want in tight ends.
So these are numbers. No, I think I would say better than you would expect for a tight end. Like, it would be unfair to want this from a tight end.
So him and Rashee Rice would look good getting off the bus.
So 6'7", 255. He ran a 4.55 40. That's a 1.5 10-yard split.
It's just ridiculous by the way, long of legs.
By the way, that 1.55 10-yard split, you know, you look at the 10-yard splits, that's explosiveness. That's how fast can you
it's
get
crazy.
Up to your top
It's crazy
speed.
Fast.
Rashee Rice is 1.5.
Which is crazy burst. That's a crazy burst.
So he's
right
the
there.
Same. He's the same as your wide receiver, who also 40-inch vert, 10-foot, 8-inch broad jump.
Which is 1 inch shy of Rashee's.
Yeah, the same broad jump as Rashee Rice. Like, this guy is a physical specimen, and he is sitting out there. This is not just your average run-of-the-mill Old Dominion tight end. This guy had a pedigree. And when you look at day four prospects,
Old Dominion tight ends.
No, I'm just saying, recruiting rankings do matter, right?
Oh, they do.
That there's a reason why Philadelphia is just loading up on former five-star recruits that went to Georgia.
Yeah, four of them last 2 years.
Because you can kind of project based off your physical profile, and this guy has the physical profile of a blue chip high school recruit. He just doesn't have that blue chip college program sitting there on his resume, but. I mean, if you want to talk about getting sexy, Chris, going out and getting a physical freak at tight end, that I think would qualify as getting sexy.
Not only that, he's a late bloomer. He's starting to fill in. I mean, because he was kind of a skinny dude with a 6'7 frame, but he's building that frame out. He's looking much different lately.
Yeah, the third day, you're getting guys who are premium athletes that maybe have some skill issues at whatever position they're playing. And the Chiefs trust their ability more than any team I've ever seen to develop talent and coach them up to be a sufficient player in the league. So this is the right time to do it.
I'm looking at his percentiles, by the way, on his measurables.
It's crazy.
97th percentile wingspan, 93rd percentile 40-yard dash, 94th percentile 10-yard shuttle, 88th percentile, 10-yard shuttle, and 99th percentile vert, 98th percentile broad jump, 92% three cone. So just like elite.
Yeah.
In every physical measurable.
He did go to Penn State for 3 years. He actually graduated from Penn State. He was a graduate transfer when he went to Old Dominion. Do you realize he was first or second in every single category at the combine amongst tight ends? He was either number one or number two every category.
It's like you don't need a tight end to come in and contribute for you day one.
No, not at all. He can
you
sit
get Travis
for,
Kelce.
He can sit probably for 2-3 years maybe, and he'll be just fine. Oh. If he's a contributor a couple years from now, you're great. You're happy.
One more thing. He won the state championship in high school in the hurdles. That just shows you the athleticism.
I think it's just like looking up his entire.
No,
what did he do in middle school? How was he in middle school basketball?
He won the science fair. He had this volcano.
He had a volcano out of paper mache.
A couple other positions I want to take a look at. Running back. You know, you don't often want to see a team that's competing for Super Bowls spend an early round pick on running back, but we are now on day 3. You got 5 picks left. We don't know if Jerick McKinnon's going to be back. You could use another complimentary piece next to Isaiah Pacheco. Could this be a position the Chiefs target in rounds 4 or 5?
I think so, and I think the earlier, the better. There's a guy that obviously everybody knows around here, Deuce Vaughn. Limitation maybe in the blocking. He's got to find a way to get his body.
How much does that matter for right now? Because
not a ton, because Darren Sproles, same thing, but find a way to do it. But he's got exceptional hands, and he's extremely elusive. And not only that, you say, what'd you do against the best teams? Well, how about 133 yards against Alabama? That'll play. Catches the ball out of the backfield. And the people, Darren Sproles got a lot of this early on in his career. Again, Darren, best player I've ever seen come out of Kansas City. But here's the one thing about Darren. He's too small to play and all that. But as you sit here now, he's 6th all-time in NFL all-purpose yardage. 6th all-time. But people doubted Darren Sproles every single way from high school. I remember he was in Little League. They'd move him up because he was so good and so much better than everybody else. But he's 6th all-time in the NFL in all-purpose yardage. Deuce Vaughn has surprised people every single step along the way. I would not doubt if he's a good pro. He's talked to the Chiefs several times. I like Chase Brown at Illinois, and I like your guy, Kenny McIntosh.
What a dream that would be for every K-State fan.
One of my friends is a K-State fan. He was so happy about FAU getting drafted to the Chiefs, and he was like, Deuce. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though. The Chiefs, if Wanya Morris or Luke Niang or whoever's going to be the right tackle, if they don't get killed on a regular basis like Wiley did sometimes, if Juwan Taylor at left tackle does a good job to where the Chiefs don't have to have a running back there to chip as much as they did last year because Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Wiley were kind of liabilities at the tackle spot, then that makes the pick for Deuce a lot better, actually, because now you don't have to worry about him sitting back there and trying to just grab onto one of these guys' ankles to stop them from getting to Mahomes. Now those guys, he can sneak out into the flats, and he can just catch it and get into space, and magic happens there. So I think part of this is also how are the new additions there at tackle going to work out so that maybe you don't have to have so many guys there to help out those tackles on the edge.
You know, there's ways to scheme around stuff like this, Chris. You're like having 12 personnel or 13 personnel.
Right, yeah.
Where all of a sudden, if Deuce is back there, you bring a tight end.
You got a tight end to chip.
You have a tight end in an H-back kind of formation where you're sliding down the line, and so you have the act because you got two tight ends or three tight ends in the game. So if Deuce is in, you find a way to supplement that in the beginning with other blocking mechanisms.
From the 913, or if you want to join the show, 913-586-7610. From the 816, did the Chiefs lose two draft picks? I thought they had seven draft picks left. No, they have five left because they traded up.
The two trades.
They actually got picks back in some of their trades. So they actually found great value there because usually when you're moving up, you're not getting picks back except for the swap situation there. But they actually got some picks back. At one point, they had 3 6-round picks. So they've been gaining some picks back, and they still have ammunition to move up if they need to.
Yeah, the last trade they made was Cincy. Since he traded 92 to the Chiefs for 95 and 217. So they're throwing 217. And they've been throwing these seventh-round picks in there, which is fine.
One other position that I've got my eye on is cornerback. Day three is the time. If you feel like you have starters at cornerback, day three is always the time to continue to try and add depth. And when you think about a Spags corner, there's like one of two profiles. Either be super fast or be like a physical specimen, be the Joshua Williams, Legarius Sneed, where maybe you don't run a 4-3, but you are big, long, lanky, athletic. I can move you all around the field. I can get you involved near the line of scrimmage. There are a couple of guys that I think would be intriguing fits as a corner to add depth. And when you look at this cornerback room, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson were great. Looking towards the future, I don't know if either one of them, like, I don't know how sold the Chiefs are about them long-term. There are a couple of names. Jalen Jones, Texas A&M, that's a name you and I have both thrown around.
We both mocked him to the Chiefs on Monday. Yeah.
So I think here in round 4 or 5, it's another spot to continue to try and add depth to the secondary.
Because in the NFL, there's two things. Wide receivers and those that stop them. Like, this has become such a wide receiver cornerback league, right? Obviously quarterbacks as well, but it's about wide receivers and it's about the corners. You can never have enough good corners in this league. I'm with you guys on that. I do like safety, and I would go safety here too. Anthony Johnson's a guy that I told you I like a lot because he played corner. He started off as corner. You could put him in the box. To me, that's the most Legarius Sneed pick kind of out here.
I think one of the changes we're kind of seeing at the collegiate level anyways is that a lot of safeties are playing a lot more slot corner now, and teams are really kind of moving these guys around in the defensive backfield.
Because you don't have free safeties anymore. It's
right. I mean, a lot of teams now are running a lot more three safety concepts, and that third safety they kind of like switch based on which side's the strong side. And so basically, you're going to have at least two safeties that are going to play in the slot as a corner. So there's a lot of versatility that we're starting to see at the collegiate level in the defensive backfield. And I think that's starting to translate over to the NFL now. We obviously see it with the Chiefs, who regularly run three safety fronts on their defense. So a lot of interesting changes that we're starting to see. And I think in this draft, we could kind of see a lot of versatility there with safety and corner.
So you want more on Jalen Jones, or are you back to your Travius Hodges Tomlinson? That's my guy. I mean, I
really like Travius Hodges Tomlinson, and I'm surprised he made it this far. Corey Trice is out there too. If they're comfortable with moving McDuffie outside, I'd be all for them getting Travius Hodges-Tomlinson. I like that kid. I think he's a great athlete, and the biggest thing he's going to have to do is refine more of his technique and not be the kind of guy who gets sloppy and then gets penalties, which is something that he had an issue with last
year. Small.
Yeah, he's small.
He's kind of tiny. And
he's like 5'8", 170 pounds.
He's smaller than McDuffie.
Yeah, he's little. I mean, McDuffie's like 5'11", and you know he's got 3 inches on Hodges-Tomlinson.
And that was the thought on McDuffie is he's a little undersized.
Yeah, he's a little undersized, but he's 5'11".
But here's the one thing about it. He's like a little bulldog, man.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
he's relentless, man.
He's an incredible athlete, and I think Hodges-Tomlinson is like perfect. He's perfect as a slot corner in the league.
He plays bigger than he is.
Yeah, he does.
I've heard that a lot, but Tyreek did
too. He's kind of a ball-hawking slot corner.
He played bigger than who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And as far as Tyreek played bigger as a wide receiver than he was in demeanor, but this guy is a tough little guy on defense.
All right, coming up next, I want to talk about one common trait between the three players that the Chiefs selected in the first 2 days of the NFL draft. We're also going to talk to the head coach of Felix Anudike Uzama, Eric Thomas, coming up at 10 o'clock. This is Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
Especially since you're always growing and changing. But deepening your self-awareness is the key to a happier, more fulfilled life. Therapy is all about that process of self-discovery. Because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp offers convenient online therapy on your schedule. It's the same professional service you'd get from an in-person therapist, but with the option to communicate when and how you want, by chat, phone, or video call. Plus, getting started is easy. Just go to their site and fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. If you don't find the right match the first time, don't worry. You can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Start on your own journey of self-discovery with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/YouFirst today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/YouFirst.
Hey, it's Josh Kligler. You had a solid retirement dream. Sell your home in a few years, bank the equity, downsize, and travel. But inflation and recession has you wondering if all your hard-earned equity will still be there. What if you could recession-proof your equity right now? You can with Truehold. Truehold will buy your home for its best current value before a recession can erode it. You get to bank all the cash now and live in your home for as long as you want. And Truehold covers all property taxes, insurance, repairs, and maintenance. And since Truehold pays your home's current value in cash now, it's yours to do whatever you'd like. Don't wait for inflation, recession, and interest rates to erode your home's value. Visit Truehold.com and discover how much Truehold will buy your home for today based on its best current value, not what's coming. Call 1-855-300-9993 or visit Truehold.com. The smarter, faster way to cash out your home's value without having to move. That's Truehold.com.
The all-new Nissan Ariya is a fully loaded EV. It's brimming with style and power.
Up to 389 horses of it.
Innovation and intelligence.
E-Force all-wheel drive.
It'll pin you to your seat.
Your very plush seat.
The all-new, all-electric Nissan Ariya. Nissan Ariya with E-Force expect availability early 2023. E-Force cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. E-Force and 389 horsepower available on Platinum Plus. Nissan calculation using 1-foot rollout testing with long-range battery and E-Force only in sport mode with E-Step Off. These results are for comparison only and should not be attempted on public roads. Drive responsibly. See NissanUSA.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Get your vehicle ready for spring during Clean Car Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pro X1 exterior cleaning and detailing products provide professional results and show quality shine for your vehicle. Right now, pick up Pro X1 Snow Foam Car Wash 2 for just $15. See store for details. Pro X1 exclusively at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The 610 Sports Radio phone line is brought to you by Onder Law Injury Lawyers. Visit GetJim.com.
Hey, it's Travis Kelce, and you're listening to the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up here at 10 o'clock, we're going to talk to Eric Thomas, the head coach of Lee Summit High School football, where he coached the Chiefs' first-round draft pick, Felix Anudike Uzama. I am Nick Schwert, Chris Unocera, Jay Binkley. This is Character Concerns. Day 3 of the NFL draft starts in a little over an hour. I want to talk about these first three picks for the Chiefs and something they have in common, guys. Round 1, Felix Anudike Uzama.
edge rusher, K-State. Round two, wide receiver out of SMU, Rashee Rice. Round three, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, Wanya Morris. The one commonality that I think we've seen through these first three picks, and we'll see if it continues today, is Brett Veach is valuing athletic traits maybe a little bit more than he is how ready are you to contribute right now. And I think it makes perfect sense for the spot that the Chiefs are currently in. I don't think there's very many starting jobs up for grabs on this team in 2023. Not to say there won't be open competition, but I think offensive tackle, right tackle is one of them. Going into the draft, offensive tackle was one of them. Edge rusher was one of them. You could maybe argue cornerback, but that's always a fluid situation. There aren't that many starting spots up for grabs. Not to say you don't value talent, but you're in a position as a franchise to go after upside, to go after potential, and you do that by going after guys who have the physical traits that you could look at and say, okay, what can we project him to be 2 or 3 years down the line? That's what these three players all have in common. Like, Felix is not the... He's not Tyree Wilson, right? But those guys don't last to pick 31. Those guys go top 10. But he has like that core strength. He's just well built. He's got good upper body, good arms, good, like, he's got the physical traits that you can look at and say, okay, there's pretty good explosion when you look at his combine numbers. 124 inch broad jump, that's 91st percentile. He had a 6.943 cone drill, that's 90th percentile. There are some elite physical traits there. Rashee Rice, we saw the video of him squatting 500 pounds. He's got a 41 inch vertical. Elite physical traits. Wanya Morris, you go in, that's all he is. All he is built on elite physical traits. He had the longest arms of any offensive lineman. Brett Veach is valuing measurables in this draft class so far.
It's why Zach Kuntz would kind of fit in everything because of this. Didn't it kind of remind you of the way college programs are, good ones? Like Tom Osborne, Nebraska. I mean, he'd bring a guy in, and he projects you to be a certain way. I played high school football with a kid that was a tight end, 6'4 tight end, about 210, 215 at the time. Bill Snyder took him, and he projected him and said, okay, look at that frame. We could put weight. So he ends up 6'4, over 300 pounds, Nick, and he was academic all Big 12. And he played in the National Football League with the Indianapolis Colts. So what I'm saying is, here's a frame, and he said, athletically, we can put some weight on this guy and turn him into a certain player. Same way with the Chiefs and Andy Reid. He likes guys that can play all of the offensive line. Spagnuolo likes to put guys all over on defense, whether you fit. The versatility thing is what the Chiefs are looking for. And I think what you're talking about with the athletic profile, can you play different positions? Are you in a different mix? Yes. And as far as positions up for grabs, the good news is there's not many, like you said, with the right tackle. But I do think the order of things is up for grabs. Like the order of wide receivers is debatable. That's one of, I think that's kind of one of the top three topics going to the St. Joe. How's the order going to look? Who's going to step up? Who's going to step back? Who's going to be the dude? Is Sky Moore taking the next step? But the wide receiver order, how good Kadarius Toney, is he really our number one or going to be a number one?
But that's kind of the beautiful.
That's the interesting thing.
But you know what's so beautiful about that is you're totally right. But with all of these edge rush, with all of these picks, think about them in terms of how we normally think about rookies, which is all eyes on them. How are they going to perform in year one? Can they be a starter? Can they improve throughout the season? If let's just look at Rashee Rice as an example. You may have certain expectations for him going into year one, but that spotlight is not going to be shining very bright on Rashee Rice. Because I would argue going into 2023, I'm more interested in what is Kadarius Toney going to do in year two? What is Sky Moore going to do in year two? Rashee Rice doesn't have all this pressure on him to perform right away. It's more of, okay, what can you do? We don't need you to do anything for this team. There's more pressure on Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore than there is Rashee Rice.
Have more than he does. You're right, 100%.
That's a beautiful spot to be in as an organization.
But next year, that'll shift to Rashee Rice.
Of course, of course. But getting that buffer year is a great thing for rookies.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think a lot of people really, like, I think now we kind of need to be at a point where whenever we talk about receivers at the Chiefs draft, we need to kind of view them as recruits going into a college that are more than likely going to have to redshirt for a year because the Chiefs kind of need to get them acclimated to their system and get them up to speed on how it's done in the NFL as far as preparation goes, as far as improving their footwork, their route running, etc. And I think Rashee Rice is very much in for a redshirt type of year. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because you're drafting for 2024 and beyond. You're not drafting for this season. Because you've got already in this situation, they like Tony, they like Sky Moore. MVS is in his second year with the team. You've got some depth now. I mean, you brought back Justin Watson and whatnot. So I think they feel pretty comfortable about it. They just need to get a guy that is going to be their future number two style, more physical receiver. And so there shouldn't be any expectations placed on Rashee for this year. If somehow he's able to work his way into the rotation, that's already a win right there. Even if he's not like a big stat guy, if he works his way into the rotation this season, that's a great win for them.
Yeah, especially
I love that comparison, by the way. Yeah. I love the comparison of like the looking at the Chiefs as an elite college football program. Like Jalen Carter was not the best player on the Georgia defense his freshman year. Neither was Nolan Smith,
but
right?
Can college coaches think they can build you, man. They can turn you into something.
But that's kind of what Kansas City...
Exactly.
And I think maybe like the Eagles, to a certain extent, are doing where it's never going to be about you as a freshman. It's never going to be about Rashee Rice or Felix Anudike Uzomah as a rookie. You are part of a bigger thing here organizationally. You're part of something much, much bigger. And that's a great spot to be in where I don't need you to be great right away.
Yeah, the Chiefs are not one of those teams that's like, we're going to rush you out there when you're not ready just because you're good. They're not like one of these like lesser Power 5 schools where it's like you get like a 4 or 5 star. You're like, oh, we got to put him out there because he's better. He's more talented than whoever we have as a starter. The Chiefs are like, yeah, you're probably really talented, but you're not quite ready yet. We're going to coach you up. And when you are ready, we'll put you out there. And so they're not afraid to redshirt guys for a year because they trust their ability to gather more talent and they trust their process with getting the guy who is at the starter at that position anyways. So there's a good chance that most, if not all, these guys don't play much. I think the only guy that I think for sure we can count and say that guy's probably going to be a day one starter is FAU. And that's it.
Two best coaches I've ever seen is Tom Osborne and Bill Snyder. Don't forget, you take a guy like Jordy Nelson, doesn't have any offers, right? And he comes in as defensive back, and all of a sudden you project, oh, this guy, let's move him to receiver. This guy's going to be receiver. And then all of a sudden you see what Jordy Nelson did in the NFL as a receiver. That's the foresight. That's what good elite programs do. They bring a guy in, quote, sometimes they recruit his athlete, and they say, how many times do college players switch from where these guys played in high school? All the time, man.
All the time.
You're a tight end. Nah, let's put you a tackle. You're building that position. You switch offense to defense. Man, you're a better corner than you are a receiver. But it's those teams that excel in college football, the ones that can see your talent, where you fit.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be,
to be.
Two things. Wide receivers and those that stop them. Like, this has become such a wide receiver cornerback league, right? Obviously quarterbacks as well. But it's about wide receivers, and it's about the corners. You can never have enough good corners in this league. I'm with you guys on that. I do like safety. I would go safety here, too. Anthony Johnson's a guy that I told you I like a lot because he played corner. He started off as corner. You could put him in the box. To me, that's the most luxurious Snead pick kind of out here.
I think one of the changes we're kind of seeing at the collegiate level anyways is that a lot of safeties are playing a lot more slot corner now, and teams are really kind of moving these guys around in the defensive backfield.
Because you don't have free safeties anymore. It's
right.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of teams now are running a lot more three safety concepts, and that third safety they kind of like switch based on which side's the strong side. And so basically you're going to have at least two safeties that are going to play in the slot as a corner. So there's a lot of versatility that we're starting to see at the collegiate level in the defensive backfield. And I think that's starting to translate over to the NFL. Now we obviously see it with the Chiefs, who regularly run three safety fronts on their defense. So a lot of interesting changes that we're starting to see. And I think in this draft, we could kind of see a lot of versatility there with safety and corner.
So you want more on Jalen Jones, or are you back to your Travius Hodges Tomlinson? That's my guy. I mean, I
really like Travius Hodges Tomlinson, and I'm surprised he made it this far.
Corey Trice is out there.
Corey Trice is out there too. If they're comfortable with moving McDuffie outside, I'd be all for them getting Travius Hodges Tomlinson. I like that kid. I think he's a great athlete, and the biggest thing he's going to have to do is refine more of his technique and not be the kind of guy who gets sloppy and then gets penalties, which is something that he had an issue with last year.
He's small.
Yeah, he's small.
He's kind of tiny. And
he's like 5'8", 170 pounds.
He's smaller than McDuffie.
Yeah, he's little. I mean, McDuffie's like 5'11", and you know he's got 3 inches on Hodges Tomlinson.
And that was the thought on McDuffie, is he's a little undersized.
Yeah, he's a little undersized, but he's 5'11".
But here's the one thing about it, he's like a little bulldog, man.
Yeah, I mean,
he's relentless, man.
He's an incredible athlete, and I think Hodges Tomlinson is like perfect. He's perfect as a slot corner in the league.
He plays bigger than he is.
Yeah, he does.
I've heard that a lot, but Tyreek did
too. He's kind of a ball-hawking slot corner.
He played bigger than who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And as far as Tyreek played bigger as a wide receiver than he was in demeanor, but this guy is a tough little guy on defense.
All right, coming up next, I want to talk about one common trait between the three players that the Chiefs selected in the first 2 days of the NFL draft. We're also going to talk to the head coach of Felix Anudike Uzomah, Eric Thomas, coming up at 10 o'clock. This is Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
Especially since you're always growing and changing. But deepening your self-awareness is the key to a happier, more fulfilled life. Therapy is all about that process of self-discovery. Because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp offers convenient online therapy on your schedule. It's the same professional service you'd get from an in-person therapist, but with the option to communicate when and how you want, by chat, phone, or video call. Plus, getting started is easy. Just go to their site and fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. If you don't find the right match the first time, don't worry. You can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Start on your own journey of self-discovery with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/YouFirst today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/YouFirst.
Hey, it's Josh Kligler. You had a solid retirement dream. Sell your home in a few years, bank the equity, downsize, and travel. But inflation and recession has you wondering if all your hard-earned equity will still be there. What if you could recession-proof your equity right now? You can with Truehold. Truehold will buy your home for its best current value before a recession can erode it. You get to bank all the cash now and live in your home for as long as you want. And Truehold covers all property taxes, insurance, repairs, and maintenance. And since Truehold pays your home's current value in cash now, it's yours to do whatever you'd like. Don't wait for inflation, recession, and interest rates to erode your home's value. Visit Truehold.com and discover how much Truehold will buy your home for today based on its best current value, not what's coming. Call 1-855-300-9993 or visit Truehold.com. The smarter, faster way to cash out your home's value without having to move. That's Truehold.com.
The all-new Nissan Ariya is a fully loaded EV.
It's brimming with style and power.
Up to 389 horses of it.
Innovation and intelligence.
E-Force all-wheel drive.
It'll pin you to your seat.
Your very plush seat.
The all-new, all-electric Nissan Ariya. Nissan Ariya with E-Force expect availability early 2023. E-Force cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. E-Force and 389 horsepower available on Platinum Plus. Nissan calculation using 1-foot rollout testing with long-range battery and E-Force only in sport mode with E-Step off. These results are for comparison only and should not be attempted on public roads. Drive responsibly. See NissanUSA.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Get your vehicle ready for spring during Clean Car Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pro X1 exterior cleaning and detailing products provide professional results and show quality shine for your vehicle. Right now, pick up Pro X1 Snow Foam Car Wash 2 for just $15. See store for details. Pro X1 exclusively at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The 610 Sports Radio phone line is brought to you by Onderlaw Injury Lawyers. Visit GetJim.com.
Hey, it's Travis Kelce, and you're listening to the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up here at 10 o'clock, we're going to talk to Eric Thomas, the head coach of Lee Summit High School football, where he coached the Chiefs' first-round draft pick, Felix Anudike Uzomah. I am Nick Schwert, Chris Unocero, Jay Binkley. This is Character Concerns. Day 3 of the NFL draft starts in a little over an hour. I want to talk about these first three picks for the Chiefs and something they have in common, guys. Round 1, Felix Anudike Uzomah, edge rusher, K-State. Round 2, wide receiver out of SMU, Rashee Rice. Round 3, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, Wanya Morris. The one commonality that I think we've seen through these first three picks, and we'll see if it continues today, is Brett Veach is valuing athletic traits maybe a little bit more than he is how ready are you to contribute right now. And I think it makes perfect sense for the spot that the Chiefs are currently in. I don't think there's very many starting jobs up for grabs on this team in 2023. Not to say there won't be open competition, but I think offensive tackle, right tackle is one of them. Going into the draft, offensive tackle was one of them. Edge rusher was one of them. You could maybe argue cornerback, but that's always a fluid situation. There aren't that many starting spots up for grabs. Not to say you don't value talent, but you're in a position as a franchise to go after upside, to go after potential, and you do that by going after guys who have the physical traits that you could look at and say, okay, what can we project him to be 2 or 3 years down the line? That's what these three players all have in common. Like, Felix is not the, he's not Tyree Wilson, right? But those guys don't last to pick 31. Those guys go top 10. But he has like that core strength. He's just well built. He's got good upper body, good arms, good, like, he's got the physical traits that you can look at and say, okay, there's pretty good explosion when you look at his combine numbers. 124-inch broad jump, that's 91st percentile. He had a 6.94 3 cone drill, that's 90th percentile. There are some elite physical traits there. Rashee Rice, we saw the video of him squatting 500 pounds. He's got a 41-inch vertical. Elite physical traits. Wanya Morris, you go in, that's all he is. All he is built on elite physical traits. He had the longest arms of any offensive lineman. Brett Veach is valuing measurables in this draft class so far.
It's why Zach Kuntz would kind of fit in everything because of this. Didn't it kind of remind you of the way college programs are, good ones? Like Tom Osborne, Nebraska. I mean, he'd bring a guy in and he projects you to be a certain way. I played high school football. With the kid that was a tight end, 6'4 tight end, about 210, 215 at the time. Bill Snyder took him, and he projected him and said, okay, look at that frame. We could put weight. So he ends up 6'4, over 300 pounds, Nick, and he was academic all Big 12. And he played in the National Football League with the Indianapolis Colts. So what I'm saying is, here's a frame, and he said, athletically, we can put some weight on this guy and turn him into a certain player. Same way with the Chiefs and Andy Reid. He likes guys that can play all of the offensive line. Spagnuolo likes to put guys all over on defense, whether you fit. The versatility thing is what the Chiefs are looking for. And I think what you're talking about with the athletic profile, can you play different positions? Are you in a different mix? Yes. And as far as positions up for grabs, the good news is there's not many, like you said, with the right tackle. But I do think the order of things is up for grabs. Like the order of wide receivers is debatable. That's one of I think that's kind of one of the top three topics going to the St. Joe. How's the order going to look? Who's going to step up? Who's going to step back? Who's going to be the dude? Is Sky Moore taking the next step? But the wide receiver order, how good Kadarius Toney, is he really our number one or going to be a number
one? But that's
one?
Kind of the beautiful.
That's the interesting thing.
But you know what's so beautiful about that is you're totally right. But with all of these edge rush, with all of these picks, think about them in terms of how we normally think about rookies, which is all eyes on them. How are they going to perform in year one? Can they be a starter? Can they improve throughout the season? If let's just look at Rashee Rice as an example. You may have certain expectations for him going into year one, but that spotlight is not going to be shining very bright on Rashee Rice. Because I would argue going into 2023, I'm more interested in what is Kadarius Toney going to do in year two? What is Sky Moore going to do in year two? Rashee Rice doesn't have all this pressure on him to perform right away. It's more of, okay, what can you do? We don't need you to do anything for this team. There's more pressure on Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore than there is Rashee Rice.
Yes, he might have more than he does. You're right, 100%.
That's a beautiful spot to be in as an organization.
But next year, that'll shift to Rashee Rice.
Of course, of course. But getting that buffer year is a great thing for rookies.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think a lot of people really, like, I think now we kind of need to be at a point where whenever we talk about receivers at the Chiefs draft, we need to kind of view them as recruits going into a college that are more than likely going to have to redshirt for a year because the Chiefs kind of need to get them acclimated to their system and get them up to speed on how it's done in the NFL as far as preparation goes, as far as improving their footwork, their route running, etc. And I think Rashee Rice is very much in for a redshirt type of year. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because you're drafting for 2024 and beyond. You're not drafting for this season. Because you've got already in this situation, they like Toney, they like Sky Moore, MVS is in his second year with the team. You've got some depth now. I mean, you brought back Justin Watson and whatnot. So I think they feel pretty comfortable about it. They just need to get a guy that is going to be their future number two style, more physical receiver. And so there shouldn't be any expectations placed on Rashee for this year. If somehow he's able to work his way into the rotation, that's already a win right there. Even if he's not like a big stat guy, if he works his way into the rotation this season, that's a great win for them.
Yeah, especially
I love that comparison, by the way. Yeah. I love the comparison of like the looking at the Chiefs as an elite college football program. Like Jalen Carter was not the best player on the Georgia defense his freshman year. Neither was Nolan Smith,
but
right?
Can college coaches think they can build you, man. They can turn you into something.
But that's kind of what Kansas City...
Exactly.
And I think maybe like the Eagles, to a certain extent, are doing where... It's never going to be about you as a freshman. It's never going to be about Rashee Rice or Felix Anudike Uzomah as a rookie. You are part of a bigger thing here organizationally. You're part of something much, much bigger. And that's a great spot to be in where I don't need you to be great right away.
Yeah, the Chiefs are not one of those teams that's like, we're going to rush you out there when you're not ready just because you're good. They're not like one of these like lesser Power 5 schools where it's like you get like a 4 or 5 star. You're like, oh, we got to put him out there because he's better. He's more talented than whoever we have as a starter. The Chiefs are like, yeah, you're probably really talented, but you're not quite ready yet. We're going to coach you up, and when you are ready, we'll put you out there. And so they're not afraid to redshirt guys for a year because they trust their ability to gather more talent, and they trust their process with getting the guy who is at the starter at that position anyways. So there's a good chance that most, if not all, these guys don't play much. I think the only guy that I think for sure we can count and say that guy's probably going to be a day one starter is FAU, and that's it.
Two best coaches I've ever seen is Tom Osborne and Bill Snyder. Don't forget, you take a guy like Jordy Nelson, doesn't have any offers, right? And he comes in as defensive back, and all of a sudden you project, oh, this guy, let's move him to receiver. This guy's going to be receiver. And then all of a sudden you see what Jordy Nelson did in the NFL as a receiver. That's the foresight. That's what good elite programs do. They bring a guy in, quote, sometimes they recruit his athlete, and they say, how many times do college players switch from where these guys played in high school? All the time, man.
All the time.
You're a tight end. Nah, let's put you a tackle. You're building that position. You switch offense to defense. Man, you're a better corner than you are a receiver. But it's those teams that excel in college football, the ones that can see your talent, where you fit, and put you in the right place. It reminds me of kind of what Kansas City is. As far as Rashee Rice, hey, Kadarius Toney, injury history. I mean, that's just the way it is. Sometimes chance meets opportunity. You get an opportunity to step up and be that guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in St. Joe.
I am as well. I'm excited to see all of these guys and just to see how ready they are. What stands out? I'll tell you this. We talked about this before the show. When you get to training camp and you see these guys walking out of the dorms for the first time and walking down to the practice field, and you see Rashee Rice carrying his helmet next to Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, you're going to go, oh, that guy looks different.
Yeah, it's an apple, an orange, and a Volkswagen. Which one's different?
It will be, seriously, when people see Rashee Rice in St. Joe, they are going to be like, oh, I understand why they took him.
He might scare them.
He's 6'1", 204. Now, MVS is the tallest receiver. He's 6'4".
Yeah.
But MVS is wiry.
Yeah, he's pretty lanky.
He's not built like this guy.
No, he's not. We were looking at a little bit of his film before we came on, and he was playing against Cincy, and so he was matched up against Sauce, and he was able to get Sauce over a couple times in that game. And you look at him, and like Sauce is also that. He's 6'4", he's a little lanky, but you see him next to, you know, across from Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice is built.
So it's consensus he's the toughest receiver. If they were all going to fight, he'd win. If there's a battle royale, he'd win.
Are we talking full size? I'm not fighting a dude that can squat 500.
Are we talking full size Rashee Rice?
I don't know what he was power cleaning in that.
Power clean. Whew.
There were a lot of plates on the bar.
There were a lot of plates.
There was no room to put more.
I know.
No, I'm not fighting a dude that power clings whatever the hell that was on that bar.
So we know he's the toughest right now.
No. Yeah, I mean, and you go back and look at some of his film, and you're going to see it's pretty sloppy. He gets tangled up, like the technique kind of falls apart at times. But in terms of how he is built, it's prototype size. This is what you want an NFL wide receiver to look like. Now, is he going to play like one? We'll see. But this is how they're supposed to be built. 6'1", 204.
My favorite thing about him was the ball in his hand. He's tough to bring down. Like, he is tough to bring down. He's a tough dude. And that's what I like. You know, yards after catch. You get him ball and boom.
All right. We're going to talk about Felix and Udike Uzomah, the Chiefs' first-round pick, with his high school head coach, Eric Thomas, from Lee's Summit High School, coming up next year on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns Podcast Crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.